This morning, we're reading from the sixth canto. I'm here in Budapest now. And aside from wonderful verse of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada concluded his purport saying, a devotee becomes more and more opulent as he increases his devotional service to the Lord. And I thought that was a really beautiful sutra, something that you could actually meditate upon. And of course, devotional service has its two aspects. One is the practice of the different limbs of devotional service, and the other are other devotional activities, which also really come under that category. Now I'm speaking about it and thinking about it. For instance, if we think about book distribution or preaching, these are all under the category of sevanam, or someone goes on parikrama pada sevanam. Oh, actually everything, but usually you have these two things, the sadhana and service. These are two sort of phrases that devotees use, or two words, but they're not really distinct. Sadhana is service, and service is sadhana. They're all part of one activity that we only use one phrase for, and that's devotional service. So it's all devotional service. And here Srila Prabhupada says that as Vaishnavas engage in service more and more, they become enriched. And of course, enriched means that they become wealthy with transcendental assets. Unfortunately, transcendental assets aren't necessarily appealing to non-transcendentalists or well, certainly not appealing to materialists. So Krishna says, Yani Sarva Bhutanam. And to practicing devotees, well, they're in a bind, at least until the stage where they become quite purified and they attain the stage of ruchi, where their taste for these transcendental treasures overwhelms or overshadows their taste for material enjoyment. Because unfortunately, we still have a taste for material enjoyment, from material desires within our hearts, from long-standing practice or habits, bad habits. These things all contribute to this unsavory situation that we find ourselves in. And so that then becomes a tug of war. We're continually experiencing some kind of taste for spiritual life, otherwise we wouldn't be here. But at the same time, we're continually experiencing some kind of taste for material life. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. We'd have gone back to Krishna. Causes a certain degree of stress or strain. You see Arjuna's example. He was in tears in the pressure that the two things cost him. And of course, in order to be able to progress forward and become transcendentally wealthy and appreciate transcendental assets, devotees need to be very vigilant about just what Srila Prabhupada is saying. The more and more one engages in devotional service. Sat Krishna Macharitari Sukirtinanu Smityo Krami Narasana. So Rupa Goswami gives us the example of jaundice, which thankfully I've never had, but I've seen others who have had it. That when you have jaundice, then you lose all taste for sugar. Sugar becomes extremely bitter, and more than bitter, it becomes unpalatable. And yet at the same time, at least the Ayurvedic cure is more sugar. It's eating lots of sugar or sweet things. And gradually, it's a nice phrase that one's disease is destroyed, tadmula hantri, destroyed at the root. And of course, the root of material disease is material desire. Desire becomes scorched from within the heart. But it takes time. And because it takes time, so we struggle. And still, devotional service becomes our means for both developing our taste for transcendental opulences and for acquiring the transcendental opulences themselves. And what is that transcendental opulence? Like Krishna says, bhava jnana tapasa puttarmad bhavam. Transcendental emotion is the real opulence. And of course, that transcendental emotion culminates in prema, pumato maham, culminates in love for Krishna, which the experience itself is secondary. So when Rupa Goswami talks about the lakshan or the qualities of bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, the transcendental experience or ecstasy is a secondary affair. The primary is actually service itself and loving devotional service. That then becomes actually the primary wealth. So it isn't that one is what we used to say when we were young, one gets blissed out. Blissed out sounds like you're in so much bliss that you just can't do anything anymore. You're too blissed out to even serve Krishna. Although it's true that that may sometimes happen, that sometimes the ecstasies may become so overwhelming or overpowering that one is not even able to do service, but it's not the desire of the devotee, and it's not the motivation of the devotee. Rather, a devotee would rather serve than be blissed out. So that devotional service continues to be, and why is that devotional service? Because by that loving devotional service, one, Krishna comes under one's control. And of course here, we're not trying to imitate my values or something and become in some ways superior to Krishna or control Krishna, but bring Krishna under control means that Krishna reveals himself in a form that is otherwise he is inaccessible, and that is in his original feature as a cowherd boy, where he reciprocates with devotees according to whatever type of mood or mellow of love that they have, which is exclusively, of course, devoted to his personality rather than to his divinity. It's not that Krishna doesn't come under the control of Hanuman or Lakshmi Devi or so on, but not to the same degree. And they can't experience that level of sweetness that loving devotional service or spontaneous devotional service brings. And that's why the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm not going to just Bhagavatam, but all Vedic literatures, although it's not so explicitly stated, although even recently I was reading even in Vedanta Sutra, spontaneous devotional service is being described. The greatest asset is the spontaneous love for Krishna. It's not artificial. You can't make it happen. It requires the Lord's mercy. But then another verse, which we were just chanting recently when we installed Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur's Samadhi, which I forgot to record when we were there, where Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Yata yata gaura padara vinde vinde tira vindeti bhaktini krita punya rasi. To the extent that one serves Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to that degree, one's, and someone was misquoting me, they said, that wants qualification for serving Srimati Radharani is acquired. No, it's not qualification. Qualification is included. But actually, one's relationship with Srimati Radharani naturally evolves and develops. And of course, Srimati Radharani means also Krishna. So, as Srila Prabhupada here concludes, that a devotee becomes more and more opulent as he increases his devotional service to the Lord. Good meditation for the day. More we can render service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to his mission, more we can engage in quality devotional activities, especially Sukirtinanu, and the more we become transcendentally opulent. And that transcendental opulence is envied even by the great demigods and sages in pure devotion. Hare Krishna.